Phoenix Vision. I'm Jess Farmer, and my guest today is Adam Burgess, the founder of the Inspired Breath Academy and Olympic athlete in the slalom canoe. So Adam is a beautiful human being with a powerful mission. He is here to inspire the nation through the medium of the breath, as well as his career as an Olympic athlete. So we got really into the concept of inspiration. What is inspiration? We talked a lot about the breath and how it can be used to help many different issues, including developmental issues. We spoke about Adam's passion projects and finished off talking about archetypes and how Adam's been using archetypes to cultivate inspiration for himself and others. So a fantastic episode. Thank you so much, Adam, for coming on board. I hope you guys enjoy. Hello and welcome to Phoenix Vision. I am here with brother Adam Burgess, who is an Olympic athlete in the slalom canoe and founder of the Inspired Breath Academy, which is going to go on to inspire the nation through the medium of breath. And he's an all-round beautiful human being. So thank you for coming on, brother.
Oh, man. Thanks for that intro, dude. Yeah, wonderful to be here. Thanks, Jess. Currently in beautiful Slovenia, but yeah, excited to get into this discussion with you.
Yeah, awesome. No, mate, it's an absolute pleasure you coming on, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule as well, because I know you're busy training and racing and yeah, all kinds of cool stuff going on. So just on that, yeah, like, I mean, I'd love to open up onto your story, but like, but before we get into your story, like, what are you up to at the moment? You're in Slovenia at the moment. I know you're off to Krakow next week.
Yeah, that's right. It's a really busy, quite exciting time of the season for us. A lot of races around June this year. So currently competing in the World Cup. The World Cup for us is a circuit of 5 races. We've got 3 back-to-back that I'm attending at the moment. We had started in Germany in a place called Augsburg. We were in Czech Republic in Prague last weekend. And then this weekend coming up, we're racing in Ljubljana in Slovenia. Then later in the year, yeah, we'll be off to Spain and Paris as well. And that'll be the 5 races. So far it's not gone too bad. Little bit of a shaky start in Augsburg. I missed out on the final, but wasn't too far off, so still collected some decent enough points. Made the final the weekend just gone, better result. Still not quite got what I was looking for, so hopefully get on the podium this weekend instead.
Yeah, I tell you what, every time we chat about races, and you know, like we've chatted quite a few times, and things have smashed it and gone well, and chatted a couple of times, and you know, it's been a couple of blips, but I've always been like super impressed with like your attitude and like just the way you move through the challenges. Like if there has been a setback, or maybe if a race hasn't like gone so much to plan, you're always just like you don't let it like pull you back. You know, it's always just like, right, taking those lessons, move forward, yeah, doesn't let you affect in the next race, which I guess is like so key for so many athletes, because the psychology is so interwoven into all of it.
Yeah, I mean, canoe slalom is one of those sports that just will teach you that. And it definitely goes into how you approach the rest of your life as well. You know, in slalom, so we go down through the green gates and up through the red gates. So it literally has its ups and downs. You know, we're moving down the river. There's that journey element to it. And you know, we're dealing with a natural force in the white water. You can't really have too much of a plan. It's very instinctive. You have to be present. So, you know, there's so many lessons just from the sport itself that do just kind of, yeah, like it really... just leaks into the rest of your life and your approach to things. So yeah, I mean, you definitely need to be able to move on quickly from upsets, because there are a lot more bad days in slalom than good days. You know, we're looking to turn that around, but it's the way it is. And I see it in the way that I go about my business off the water as well, for sure.
Beautiful, man. Maybe a bit of a nightmare question, but what would be like the number one thing that the water has taught you that you've brought into the rest of your life?
I think of the famous quote, and I don't know the origins of it, but that no man steps in the same river twice because he is not the same man and it is not the same river. You know, that to me, just that is slalom summed up so well. And it's this idea of, you know, it's having what I like to call a responsible level of decisions made, but everything else is about letting it flow and being present, not anticipating, not evaluating, just trying to be as present as possible.
Damn, I got hair stood up all over my arms, man, just listen to you express that. And yeah, it's what a beautiful metaphor for life as well, because like life is ever changing. No, like the man steps in the same river twice. And you know, I guess like we can't control how the water goes or how the race goes, because it's this ever changing, dynamic, like turbulent environment, and such is life. And you know, we to a degree we can't control certain things within the water, we can't control life, and neither are we supposed to. But I guess like we can very much you know, temper ourselves and control ourselves and give ourselves like the best opportunity to approach life as well as approach the water.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, you know, the phrase that goes around sport a lot is control the controllables, which I have kind of multiple feelings about. Like, I get the sentiment, it's great. But also when you, if you're someone that that potentially gets anxious and you have an understanding of how many things you could potentially try and control, that can be really overwhelming. I prefer the phrase or the idea to just control one thing, which I think will lead us lovely into the rest of our conversation. Because for me, often that is breath. The thing that's always with us.
Yeah, man. From what I've seen of you, you're so into the specifics of this performance and giving yourself every single edge, and like really mastered so many different areas, breath being one of them, a really key element, which yeah, I'd love to get into. But like, you know, I heard the saying that there's so many athletes that do well not because of their training, but in spite of their training. And with yourself, like, you're so dialed on the nutrition, so dialed on the breath, so dialed on the technique. It's just like really like inspiring to see. So yeah, dude, like I'd love to ask you about your story. Like what got you into slalom canoe, and then what then, because I know you started training like long time ago. And then how did that evolve into working with the breath, because like you've got something really special with the breath as well, which you're cultivating and developing. So yeah, how did it all start, brother?
So I mean, I was one of those kids that just wanted to do everything, and I think that curiosity and that enthusiasm is I think it's something of a superpower that I had growing up. And yeah, I mean, when I started canoeing, it was a time where I pretty much had a different activity or something going on like every night of the week after school. And then when canoeing came along, it was like another thing that, you know, my parents had to take me to, pick me up from. And it's almost, you know, it almost seems like fate in some way that I started this sport. There was an opportunity for, I think it was 8 kids to start in this group with Staffinstone Canoe Club on the River Trent in Stone. And I wasn't part of that first group. It was, you know, we had to get a permission slip signed by our parents to say it was allowed. And that I was about as disorganized then as I think I still am. Big work on for me. And that bit of paper just lived in my school bag, I think. I never got it signed and returned. And fortunately for me, someone dropped out about 6 weeks in. And it was something I was, you know, quite interested in giving a try. So when that opportunity came around, and I was just fortunate that it was my form tutor that had that connection. They brought it up in registration one morning. Oh, you know, someone's dropped out of the canoeing. Would anybody like to take the place? And yeah, I just raised my hand. I remember it quite vividly. And it just blows my mind to think that, you know, it took that person giving up that spot for me to have that opportunity, that second opportunity to join. And what, you know, it's become my career. It's become so much about how it's shaped me. So I was 10 years old at the time, and to the point where, you know, I can't imagine who Adam Burgess is without raising that hand in that classroom, which is it's like one of those mind-blowing thoughts. And I feel like, you know, a lot of us probably have those things. You know, what would have happened if I hadn't have turned down that street on that day, or met that person, had that conversation? I find these things kind of mind-blowing. But yeah, I loved it from the word go. Within a year or two, I pretty much dropped everything else I was doing. You know, I was playing football, swimming, I was with the scouts, piano lessons, all sorts of things. And yeah, gradually kind of canoeing started to take over with everything. And, you know, I was only about 13, 14 years old when I was realizing to myself that, I've got time before school where I could go training, as well as after school. And then there's like the evening slot as well. And I remember I used to drop my kit off sometimes on the way to school, because I used to walk past the club. I'd drop it off for later on, or I'd go before school and I'd wait until I'd see other kids walking over the bridge at the top on their way. That was my cue to get off and get changed. I watched the 2004 Olympic Games in Athens. My granddad recorded the finals of that for me, and I'd have been, I'd have been 11, I think, during that time. And pretty much from that moment, I wanted to go to the Olympic Games. And it was a long road to get there. Plenty of ups and downs, you know, injuries, missing the team at times, you know, not necessarily getting what I wanted. But yeah, on the way there, under 23 world champion in 2015, that was a big moment for me. Racing in the jungle in Brazil, that was one that was particularly special for the injuries and some real near misses in races the year or two before. That title felt like it was coming. And then, I guess, you know, established myself as a senior athlete from that point. I've been vice European champion, been in three world championship finals now, been ranked top 10 in the world. The big one, fourth at the Olympic Games in Tokyo a couple of years ago, which is it's a tricky place to finish fourth. Kind of bittersweet. You know, we went there to win. Felt like we had the tools, and you know, slalom is it's a game. It's very much what happens on the day, just didn't quite produce the performance that I wanted there in the final. But it was one of those runs where not a lot went right for me. Pretty much from the word go, I was kind of fighting it. So I was incredibly proud in the end that I managed to keep the run alive and put something down, get a run down on the board, a time that people had to chase. Unfortunately, I missed out on the podium. It was 0.16 of a second in the end. It's still every now and again, wake up in the night thinking about it. But you know, I really see it as a gift now that you know, I absolutely love the last, it's like 20 years of the sport. And that's the thing I've been pursuing. That's the dream, to win Olympic gold. And knowing what it was like to come back from the Olympic Games and the kind of the big come down that that is, the back to reality. You know, I can't imagine how hard that is to come back after a medal winning performance or after winning it. After a month or so, my motivation came back, and I think I love the sport now more than I did when I was 10, 11 years old. Like, I absolutely love it. And the fact that I finished fourth means there's unfinished business. And I'm just chasing it every single day now. Yeah.
Oh, man, I love everything about what you just shared. It's wicked, man. And like, what really comes up for me is like the power of the dream.
Mm.
You know, the power of the dream. And, you know, I'd love to ask you, like, from going at the age of 11 and watching this final that your granddad recorded for you, to then doing all of this work, like a big part of a lifetime's work, and then competing in the Olympics, from watching that as an 11-year-old, like, what's that like? Like, you know, it's like, love yeah. to just, like, what, you know?
It's honestly nuts. And, you know, I get emotional thinking about it sometimes, like, and certainly, yeah, just when I earned that spot, you know, I was up against two amazing British athletes. Only one of us could go. All three of us were ranked top 10 in the world at the time. And that selection process for Tokyo was brutal. And yeah, just to achieve that, it took a long time to sink in that it actually happened. And I was going there. And yeah, it was a real, once I was in Tokyo, it was a real blend of almost, I tried to just stop every now and again and really sort of feel where I was, you know, take in like the sights, the sounds, the feelings, and just try and have a few real key moments to remember and enjoy, because so much of it is about reducing the noise, focusing on what's important in that moment. And yeah, really kind of not being overwhelmed by the occasion. So yeah, it was a strange blend of kind of, you know, enjoying it and being present there, but then also I kind of let myself go there and then always bring it back to what is important right now in this moment, which by the time I'm on the water and doing the race, it's pretty much just about where I'm looking. But yeah, and I mean, I was racing against guys that, you know, it's a lot of the same people. No one's retiring. It's all the same people that I've been watching since I was like 13, 14 years old that are at the top of the sport. So to feel like I'm in that group now is, it's cool. It's cool. And I know that 10-year-old Adam will be super proud.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, this is beautiful. I'm so happy for how your life's unfolded in this way. And like, you know, and like the way it was, the kid had to drop out, you know, something wanted you to be in this, you know. Mm. I've got a feeling, and so it's a nice idea that everyone's got a golden thread pulling them through life from the heart.
Mm.
And it's this golden thread that ensures that we're not 5-10 minutes late or 5-10 minutes too early. Mm. We're always on the button for what's supposed to happen for us. And then that those golden threads are intersecting with everyone else's golden thread and creating this like giant golden web of humanity kind of thing.
Mm.
So like, yeah. Lots to ask about. Let's move into the breath, man, because you know, from our time together, you know, I can see you're sat on something very special and very potent with the breath. And I've seen many people breathe and analyzed it as like part of what I do, because so many dysfunctions in the body stem from the breathing pattern. And remember when I said, like, looked at your breathing, and I had to ask you to breathe again, because it was just, I've never seen such a beautiful breath. Like really just like the just the harmonization and the way the abdomen just like it was just really like wow. So like breath, what led you into working with the breath? How has this benefited your sport, your performance, your life? And yeah, it'd be great to move into how you're helping to benefit other people, because you're doing a lot of great work with a lot of people at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that moment, because there's a bit of nervousness for me around that. It was like, oh, this better be a good breath now. I've been chatting to Jess about breath for so long. I got to show him. So yeah, no, it's good to hear that. But yeah, no, for me, it my journey with breath started around 6 years ago now, and it was actually I had this shoulder injury where we just could not get to the cause of it, which is the worst thing. I'm sure you'll know about this as well. Like, you know, if only I knew what I needed to work on to get rid of this injury, we'd have it. But it just dragged on for months because we just could not get to the root cause. And, you know, one thing at a time would be unpicked, moving from like the neck to the collarbone to various parts. And there was one physio that suggested that I was breathing too much out of my upper chest. And I mentioned that to my mom, and she's like, well, you need to come to my yoga class. Come meet my yoga teacher and do that, which, you know, for a guy who lifts weights, competes in, you know, quite a high adrenaline sport, I was a bit unsure about trying yoga. And I went along to my mom's class and, yeah, just kind of got my ass handed to me by a room full of women that seemed so much stronger than I was at that asana practice. And I think that can go one of two ways when you're an athlete. It can maybe hurt your ego and you think, nah, it's rubbish, that's not for me. Or I think if you have the kind of athlete mindset that I have, it's like, wow, like there is something in this for me. I can learn a lot in this room. And that's the way I went. I went back and I saw this teacher to work one-to-one on breathing. And I learned various pranayama and I guess just better techniques for breathing. We were working a bit more on like belly breathing rather than into the upper chest. You know, I then started speaking to this about this stuff with my coach and some of our service providers at British Canoeing, and we managed to bring in a yoga teacher. For about 6 months, I think, we were getting teaching from a yoga teacher in London, Elodie, who was amazing. And it was so good to have, we just had one teacher for three of us. It was just my coaching group. So, you know, we got such expert instruction in such a small group at the beginning of that journey, which was amazing. And I caught somewhere along the way, I stumbled across the Oxygen Advantage, which is a book that I read. And has since, you know, I've become an Oxygen Advantage advanced instructor. And that's kind of where the breath started for me. I guess my journey with yoga, kind of the breath brought me to the mat and started it off. I was then really interested in the physical practice, you know, the hand balancing, the transitions. And then it started to really inform the way I wanted to race. It became very much more about the mindfulness, the presence, the focus, the drishti, where you're looking. This really informed my racing philosophy. And then all of these things still remain, but the breath really kind of came back around and has been the main thing that has been, you know, the main focus of my practice all the way through. I think, you know, where I'm at with breath now, I think it's an interesting journey, because I've kind of had both the pranayama aspect from yoga, and then I've had the education through the Oxygen Advantage, which is a bit, it's more like Western based, evidence based science. It's all the same stuff. You'll know that, you know, the yogis, they knew this stuff too. It's just different words. And then I guess there's maybe a third element, which is how I've applied this stuff in my life and in my sport. So, yeah, I mean, I was employing these techniques in the Olympic final, which is feel like I'm at the forefront of this stuff, not just in education, but in also the application of the skills. And what I'm trying to do now, yeah, I've decided that I need to start teaching this stuff, because, well, I was sort of loosely teaching a little bit, and then opportunities just kept coming. And it got to the point where it was like, you know, the universe is maybe telling me something here. I need to start sharing this some more, and turn it into a bit more of a formal coaching program.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. I'd love to ask you a little bit about the when you showed me the pictures of the before and after the breath work. So whilst you're canoeing, you're having to kind of like pull like a specific face to like get breath in the right way, and then afterwards it's like the whole kind of like jaw structure changed, the whole kind of like expression. I'm guessing because breathing more efficiently, getting more oxygen into the system, becoming more efficient, you know, it was such a stark contrast in terms of the facial expressions and structure in a way. So yeah, would you care to share about that aspect of how the breath has changed?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's something I always say to new clients or any like workshops I'm running and stuff. There's, you know, you can be incredibly fit. So I was already winning medals at top senior level at this point. Yeah, I was not a good breather. And fitness and your ability to breathe well are not necessarily related. You can get away with being a bad breather, but I feel like, you know, if you can, there's so much you can optimize with it that it can be complementary to your fitness, but it's kind of a separate thing. And the breath goes into, yeah, like physiologically, you know, the efficiency of the engine, but then the biomechanics as well. And as far down as, yeah, like you say, the changes in the face, like this was kind of fascinating for me, that I actually used my health as my case study as part of my education. And yeah, one of the main slides that I used was how my face during competition had changed. I used to have a reputation for pulling terrible faces when I was racing. My jaw would be right off to the side. And, you know, what blows my mind a little bit is how kind of brushed off it was. You know, it was like a funny thing, and it was really brushed off, and no one ever commented on it, that it may be something we can work on here. The deep relation the breath has with the core, and even the kind of a understanding of what core stability is now, through understanding the breath, is so different to what it would have been for me before. And yeah, so evolving from the point of this jaw off to the side to nowadays very much keeping the face very symmetrical and square whilst racing, I do think my jaw has grown. The structure of my face, you know, there are, we sort of joke, but it's there's a lot of truth in it too. We say sometimes, you know, breath work can maybe make you better looking as well. Set that jaw in the right place. You know, there's an evolutionary what's the word it makes sense evolutionary that that strong jaw, you know, is something that would be more attractive, as well as more efficient and effective.
I can see that with a damn handsome chap like yourself, mate.
Where was I? And I mean, it's one of those things that is actually, that's one of the areas that I'm still working on personally. So still not quite happy with, I think I can look more relaxed whilst racing. I still feel like I hold a bit of tension in my face. That's the main work on, but certainly breathing so much more efficiently. And that's not just, again, it's not just physical. What that gives me mentally when I'm competing is that's the big superpower. It's the presence, the calmness of mind, you know, managing any nerves and anxiety around racing. That all just feels so easy now.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I love how you keep really, really talking of the presence, but with presence as well.
Mm.
You have the presence, and you know, part of this is going to be the person you are, but also what comes through the breath. And you know, like what you're saying about jaw structure, if you see someone who's been a mouth breather for a long period of time, in the extreme, they're kind of their chin kind of tends to disappear, and like also people with cleft palates, this can kind of cause them to mouth breathe in this way. And you know, breathing is so key to the rest of the system. And Paul Cech, in his system, he talks about the breathing mechanism being at the top of a hierarchy of control systems. So if there's a breathing dysfunction, then it can potentially impact the jaw, the vertebrae here, the vision, the balance, the vestibular system in the ears, can even affect the organs, can definitely affect the lower back, you know, breathing dysfunction. If the breathing dysfunction is affecting like one side of the diaphragm, then that's going to create like a whole kind of wave of dysfunction as well. So, and it's amazing, you know, through your work, you've really shown such a fantastic tangible testament to that in terms of, you know, only with the, what's happened with the jaw structure, but also, it's massively changed your performance output as well. Would that be fair to say as well?
I think, yeah, it's the consistency, or between myself and my coach, we don't really like that word. It's the stability of my outcomes has been far, far greater since I corrected my breathing dysfunctions, and still work to go, which is another exciting thing. I think the journey with breath, it's similar to similar to journey to like a handstand, for example. Like, you know, there's this, you're never quite satisfied. There's always, you can always be a little bit better. And yeah, it's really cool. I mean, one of the other things for me, it's so much stuff makes sense now from my past. I had the worst hay fever from anyone I've ever met. You know, I once put my back out from sneezing too much. And now, yeah, I very rarely get any symptoms of hay fever. Usually kind of aware of it, that it's in the air and I need to be extra on it. But, you know, I never take any medication for it anymore. I had a really bad stammer as a kid. And, you know, I wonder if that was something to do with the breathing dysfunction, not using my diaphragm properly. Yeah, and like, you know, I was often, mostly my brother, I think I would annoy from being like just hyperactive and, you know, just lack of focus and attention, which we know also comes from poor breathing. You know, you're really reducing the oxygen that's getting to the brain and your ability to concentrate. So, yeah, it goes into absolutely everything. Like you say, you know, the breath is one of the first things that we need to address.
And then through all of your hard work and expertise, you've distilled this down into something beautiful called the Inspired Breath Academy, which I'd love to ask you a little bit more about. It's been really fulfilling being on this journey with you and watching things grow with it. And I can see you are onto something very special that's going to help so many people, because not only because it's I think like what you technically have to bring to it is phenomenal. You know, you really, really know it back to back, but it's the heart as well, your heart and what you want to, and the reasons why you want to bring this into creation. So yeah, I'd love to ask, like, what is Inspired Breath Academy? What are the three pillars of it, and what does it mean to be inspired? There's such a nice, there's such a good word, inspiration, inspired. So what does to be inspired or inspiration mean to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you were there at the start of this, helping to build the brand, and all of that. And, you know, we went with Inspired, you know, big, bold name. And to inspire literally means to take a breath in, to inhale. It is also, you know, very much linked with that, that athlete archetype. And, you know, part of the role that I think I should be playing as an athlete. I just think that it's like this calling almost. You know, for so many years, I felt like I had there was a short period where I almost felt guilty about the life that I led, that I was so fortunate to essentially do my hobby as my job, and I was just canoeing every day. And I really felt like I needed something to give back. I needed to give back more. And it was always around this idea of like, I'm learning so much from the sport. And there's so many things that the sport is teaching me, like philosophically, but also, you know, from a health perspective. And I always wanted to share it. And, you know, I've done talks here and there, and never really kind of felt like it was the thing until it really came to be about the breath, and doing, you know, my instructor's training for that and starting to share and talk about it more. It was like, that's my thing, focus on that and share that. And I think because I'm probably about as passionate as breathing as I am my sport and my coffee, as you all know, I think it is something where hopefully I can inspire, and it's, you know, show that it's not just breathing, it's not just this automatic process that takes care of itself and we don't need to think about it, that actually, you know, through some conscious manipulation, through some simple changes, we can breathe better and, you know, experience huge benefits to our health as well as our performance. But really, it is the health and the longevity side of it that really excites me. The three pillars of the business: learn, thrive, and flow. So yeah, it starts with education. I think that's the most powerful thing. So many people can come along and deliver a guided breathwork exercise, but I feel like from my journey, really learning and understanding how and why this stuff works and why it's important, that made such a big difference into me actually then doing the things. I often say that, you know, the objective really is to not need the breathwork practice or the coach. You're breathing better 24 hours a day. You have the understanding. You just know how to breathe in any given moment to create the state that you're trying to create, the appropriate state for whatever it is you're doing, which most often in today's world is about down regulation. There's not very many times we need to upregulate. That kind of happens on its own and often when it's not appropriate. This idea of thrive, you know, thriving. I really think that through the breath, you can learn more about your body, thrive in your health, but also, you know, breath is a bit of a gateway to other things. So for example, you know, I've worked with people that when they start to take more attention, more awareness to their breath, they notice that when they drink alcohol, it really starts to affect their breath. And now if breath is something that's become important to them, that's going to potentially discourage them from drinking alcohol as often, maybe at all. The way certain foods interact with our body and affect our gut can affect the way and the freedom our diaphragm has to move. So it can also inform us about dietary choices as well. And you'll see it just starts to leak into every aspect of life until, yeah, like me, kind of thinking about breath a lot of the time. And it's useful. And until the point where, you know, you've just got these things. And this is where the final pillar comes in, the flow, that when you focus on the breath, it is that thing that's always with us. It's like a common language that's shared between the mind and the body. The body is giving signals to the mind through the way it's influencing the breath. And then we can return those signals by manipulating ourselves. And ultimately, I think, yeah, that's how we find flow. Attention and focus on the breath as a means to, I guess it's almost first, it's mindfulness, and then it's flow. It's how we create these flow states.
Yeah, when you're talking, just all what was coming up for myself is like freedom, you know, giving people freedom through their breath and all of the things that it unlocks within the body. It helps the body become more free within itself through generating all of this different awareness in different areas. It's a really beautiful thing. And then how about inspired? What does inspired mean to you, brother?
I think, yeah, it's that I mentioned, you know, it's come from a place of wanting to serve, wanting to help, wanting to share what it is I've learned through being in a very fortunate position of competing in elite sport. You know, part of my work is one-to-ones, workshops, corporates. But then there's this real passion project that I have in mind where, you know, I'd love for this to be taught in schools. If we can teach people at a young age how to breathe effectively, and it's such simple stuff. It's so easy, and we can avoid, you know, so many cases of asthma, anxiety, panic attacks, the ability to control their state in stressful situations. You know, it's life lessons that I just think it can really make a big difference to people.
All right, so we are back a day later because unfortunately the technology decided to give out yesterday, but that's all good. It's how it's supposed to be. So thanks for coming back on, Adam.
Yeah, no problem at all. No worries.
Cool. So we stopped around the time in which we were talking about your passion project, which is helping the youth of the nation, getting Inspired Breath Academy into the schools, activating these transformational programs that can potentially add years onto a person's life, especially if you catch them at that age. So yeah, just love to just ask you a little bit more about your passion project, mate.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stems from the fact that, you know, I really wish I was taught this stuff sooner. And it's all so simple. It's so simple and also more effective the younger it can be learned. So, you know, whilst I'm very passionate as well about helping people that have issues, it can be helped with better breathing. If we can get in early and prevent these issues, then that's powerful. That's it really. It's almost just a bit of disbelief, you know, that it's not already more spoken about. I mean, if you're fortunate to grow up in a part of the world where that is, you know, I know there's certain communities that will be taught to breathe before they can count. Well, that's how they're taught to count as well. And yeah, just what a life skill to have younger, being able to manage and influence your state just at will.
Yeah, beautiful, man. I'd love to ask a follow-up question about like the implications of what breathing correctly does for the system, because as you're talking, a bunch of different implications are coming up for me, like developmentally. You know, we spoke already about, you know, the breath being like this kind of like master control for the system. You know, it, for me, like, it will influence everything from bone structure to the organ health to all sorts of different things. So would you be able to give like a list of benefits that if you catch a kid at a young age, get them breathing correctly, how that may alter things for them in their life moving forward, please, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's certain health conditions, such as asthma, that, you know, there's a phrase I love that, you know, genetics loads the gun, lifestyle pulls the trigger. Asthma, I mean, certain cases of asthma, obviously, not everyone, but certain allergies, panic disorder, anxiety. And yeah, you're right. You know, the bone structure, the shape of the face, the size of the airway, oral health. So, you know, our whole dental health, all of this stuff, massively implicated by the way we're breathing at a young age. Our ability to concentrate and development of the brain. So, you know, we know it takes just 30 seconds of hard breathing to reduce oxygenation in the brain by up to 40%. So if a young person is chronically over breathing, even just a little bit, then I think we can assume that their brain is slightly deprived of oxygen. So yeah, being able to best oxygenate these tissues when at a developmental age as well. You know, and that doesn't just go for the brain, that goes for the organs and everything. And again, it's just really simple stuff. Like, you know, I'm an athlete and I have been for many, many years, been supported by a world-class support program since a young age. And yet not once has a coach, doctor, physio, anyone stressed the importance of breathing through the nose. I remember actually asking the question once to a coach, you know, how should I be breathing? This is years ago, years before I'd even thought about really any of this stuff. And I was kind of told, A, it doesn't matter. B, well, your mouth is like the biggest opening to the airway. Use that. Get it in, get it out. And, you know, with what I understand now, you know, a lot of the time, less is more. And yeah, I just think, like I said, it's such simple things that I think it's the sort of thing you remember when you hear this stuff in school as well. Particularly, you know, I think if I can go in there as an athlete, as an Olympian, I've done school talks and things in the past where, you know, we're just talking about the sport and we're just going in to get everyone excited, dress everyone up in some of the kit, and, you know, it's good fun. But I think I can go in and say some of these things and maybe they'll really remember it.
Mate, I think they will for sure. Yeah. And what strikes me as well is that we're kind of at this quite exciting time within like the world of athletics and sport, whereby not all of this stuff is common mainstream knowledge yet, you know, in the athletics world. So if you've got like techniques like this, as well as a number of other human optimization techniques, which I know you're pretty hot on a lot of them, you know, we're at this exciting time before it explodes and everyone else is doing it. So it's kind of like I can see so much more advancement potential across the spectrum of sports and athletics. What's on that?
Yeah, I mean, like certainly in sport, it blows my mind that more people aren't pursuing this. There's a lot of people that know about my interest in it as well. You know, I have been quite private about it in the past because there's a performance gain in there for me. But then because it is so health and longevity related, and more opportunities kept coming along, it's like, I can't keep this stuff in. I gotta share it. And then, yeah, if that means some of my competitors start doing some of these things too, then it just means I'm going to have to be even better at them.
I love it. Yes, mate. I'd love to move on to one of the things with speaking to you that I've always just, one of the things I've loved the most, and there's many things to love about speaking to you, but this thing is like really, really touched me. And it's the reason why you're doing all of this. You know, we've discussed, you know, the gold being a fantastic, getting the gold medal being a fantastic platform to do many different things. But, you know, my sense of talking to you, it's not about you. It's about what you can do and who you can reach. So, yeah, I just like love to ask you if you could like elaborate on like what this gold that you're going for next year in the Olympics means for you and the reasons for going for that.
Yeah, I mean, I just love canoeing, man. So, you know, what an absolute privilege that I'm doing my hobby on a daily basis, and that's, you know, that's my job. And that, yeah, as well, it kind of, it's weird when it's, you know, in sport, I think it can be seen, and I've certainly had this issue in the past where I've sort of seen what I'm doing almost as this, like, just like a selfish ambition. Really, you know, it's my thing. Yeah, when you actually, you know, for me, it's when I go back to my club, or you know, someone sends you a message out of the blue that you've never heard of before, and something in your performance has made them feel something, and that to me, that's just magic. And it is, I think, I'm not even sure if it's a choice anymore as an athlete. You know, at a high level, you are a role model, and with that comes responsibility. Now certainly there's a responsibility to conduct yourself in an appropriate way, but that's almost like the minimum. That's like, and that's fine if that's the kind of athlete you are as well, totally cool with that. But I think what I started noticing as I've gotten older is like, what an opportunity, you know. It's a platform that we're given, and yeah, I think, like I said earlier in the episode, just, you know, we learn so much by competing in sport. It just it feels wrong to hold it in. It's got to be shared. It's such unique experiences that we go through, and yeah, I just absolutely love the idea of sharing that. And, you know, I've had some success and I have a platform as a result of that. And yeah, that can only grow with better results. And the bigger that grows, the more people I can reach and hopefully kind of make a difference with this breathing stuff.
Be a huge inspiration. Yeah, this is I'd love to pivot onto the archetypes as well. Just like we spoke quite a lot about the hero archetype, and that being like a driver in terms of, you know, a big part of what you're doing is to be that inspiring figure for other people, because, you know, you are in this very public position and you do have a fantastic platform to reach people. And, you know, as you're saying, like, who you are within that is like really important. And, you know, I think people want the hero. That it's like the people's champion. And yeah, so I just like to ask you about like the hero archetype, as well as how archetypal the work we've been doing in terms of archetypes and moving for them, how they've helped you in terms of any different aspects it's helped you with.
So yeah, I mean, we started talking about archetypes at the start of our journey with building the Inspired Breath Academy. You know, it's where the name, it's where the brand came from. And, you know, a lot of that is about, you know, it is a business that aims to inspire, which, yeah, that screams hero archetype. And it's been really interesting for me. I think we knew from the word go that this was going to have an influence, not just on the way that I built my business, but on me as a person and on my sporting career too. And yeah, you know, I find myself at times kind of trying to channel that a little bit and meditate on it when I've got decisions to make, or in certain moments when, you know, I really want to embody that. I see a teammate or someone hurting, and sometimes I can think, oh, you know, how can I be, what would the hero do in this situation? And I think it's definitely, you know, it's, we're also trying to avoid, we don't want to go down the road of the ego too much, and the hero being too focused on their own story. You know, I think through our discussions and through some experience now, learning more and more about what that is about, and yeah, this, you know, seeing what I'm trying to do out there on the water is bigger than myself is, yeah, that's been magic and helpful, so helpful on a psychological level for racing, because it's intense, man, individual sport. And yeah, it's just cool to have that frame of reference, I think, to find a bit of understanding, make sense of things, and to, yeah, to inform decisions.
Fantastic, mate. Fantastic. And like, I remember when we were starting this work, and you said that you had like a training session, when you were kind of like working with that hero archetype, and it helped a lot within the training. Could like that archetypal embodiment, say, help to actually bring more, even more presence in potentially?
I think so. Yeah. I think, it's just something, you know, it, like sometimes in sport, it almost doesn't matter what it is. Like if you've got something that you can believe in, and that North Star, a really simple thing to focus on, whether that is, you know, trying to embody a certain archetype, use it to help make a decision, whether that's the breath, just the ground, be in the body. Yeah, that's it. It can totally help with performance.
Oh man, mate, I cannot wait for your journey next year. I can really, really see it happening for you. Because you've created a dream that's bigger than yourself. And when we are aiming for aspirations that are not just self-orientated, but actually orientated for helping others and helping humanity, you know, I think we're supported in many ways. And I know that's a big part of your motivation. So I'd love to ask you, like, what are the aims, what are the plans for the future? I mean, you know, we've got a really big event coming up next year, then or you've got a really big event coming up next year. I'll be watching, definitely. And then, well, I know we've been speaking about a lot of exciting things for the future. So yeah, what are your thoughts on the future at the moment, buddy?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about the opportunities that are around next year. Obviously, still have to qualify my spot this season, but so far, so good. Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping through this sport, let's rephrase that. I'm hoping to look after my body in such a way that I have the option to still be competing in this sport in 10 years' time. And the way that I look after myself, I'm confident that that's the case. Now, I'm also surrendering to the flow of life a little. And, you know, undoubtedly, I think I'll be continuing past Paris, certainly to the LA Games in 2028. I really can't see me stopping before then. But after that, yeah, you know, see where the business is, other life stuff, you know, you never know what comes up. But yeah, and then in terms of the business, I think, you know, once we've got this next Olympic Games out of the way, there's 4 more years then to the next cycle. the start of the cycle is always, you know, a little bit more relaxed in terms of competitiveness. So a bit more time to focus on the business and start to really grow that. Now, my vision for it, I'd love to turn Inspired Breath Academy into Inspired Health Academy. And not just be about breath, be about some other modalities. If I can bring in other athletes as well as the experts, the health heroes, then that would be amazing too. I like the idea of having a premises, Inspired Health HQ. You know, the sort of place where people come and we train and we learn. And, you know, the training is not necessarily about, you know, lifting big weights and ego and aesthetics and these things. You know, we're lifting weights to build lean muscle tissue and look after our bodies as we get older. We'll have sauna, we'll have ice bath, all of these types of things. And really, yeah, learning about our physiology, helping people to become empowered, to take control, understand their physiology and use it to create the appropriate state for whatever challenges they're facing.
It's an awesome vision. I can see like a really nice looking black and gold gym. It's just like the image is coming up.
Yeah, I love the idea of having the logo almost as like a sculpture on the outside as well. I can, that's the image I have of it. Yeah, I think it'd be really cool.
Awesome, man. Cool. So I've got two more questions for you and then we'll wrap up. First one is, okay, say if I've never heard of breathwork and I've listened to this podcast and been like, damn, okay, this is a big world that I had no idea that I needed to think about because, you know, I just thought my breathing is cool because breathing is natural, right? So my question is, like, what would be like your top three tips for someone to start on their breath journey, apart from jumping on your course?
Of course. You know, really simple, and there's a great acronym to remember it as well. From the Oxygen Advantage, it's LSD breathing. You want to breathe light, you want to breathe slow, and you want to breathe deep. So I'll break those down. So light through the nose. Can you breathe so light that you can't hear it? Can you breathe so light that the hairs on the inside of the nose wouldn't even move? That's a cue to think about. Slow. So the resonance. So when we become present, when you decide to notice your breath, can you slow it down? You know, can you reduce that breathing down to, you know, somewhere between 4 and 7 breaths per minute? And deep. You know, when we say deep, sometimes people can misinterpret that as a big breath. You know, when we talk about deep, we're not talking about the volume of air. That's covered in the lightness. You know, it's light, subtle. Deep refers to, like in a body of water, it's deep. It's far from the top, right? Think about breathing low into the abdomen. And we lead that with the lower ribs. So I like to tell people to breathe horizontally. If we lead with the lower ribs, the whole system can move in three dimensions.
Nice, nice, nice. I think that's really, really good to get people started. And, you know, instant state change, you know, 10 breaths like that. Different. All right, brother, thank you so much. So last question. So Phoenix Vision is dedicated to creating a transformative vision of health for its listeners. So my question is, what does transformation mean to you? And what would you like to transform in the future?
Oh, I think transformation to me means evolving. Yeah, it's more than just change, I think. I think it's evolving. You know, it's change in the direction where you're headed. And what would I like to see? In myself, personal transformation or generally?
Either or.
I think I think generally, you know, I'd like to see a world where people are just move slower and understand the kind of the connections and bonds that we have as human beings a little bit more.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, brother. It's been great. Really, really great time. Your work, your dedication, everything that you do. It's just, yeah, very inspiring, my friend. So, you know, the brand is on point.
I hope so.
Adam, how can people find out more about you, more about your offerings with Inspired Breath Academy, any events you might have coming up?
Cool. First things to check out would be inspiredbreathacademy.com. Website's on there. A little bit about some of my offerings, as well as some upcoming events. You can also check out my social media. We've got @inspired_breath_academy, or my athlete page is @slalom_Burgess. What else have we got coming up? We've got community festival coming up in July, 14th to the 17th of July. And then maybe one more that I don't want to announce just yet until that's confirmed. But one more in August where, yeah, if you follow me on socials or on that website, that's sure to pop up pretty soon.
Excellent stuff. Well, brother, thank you so much again for coming on twice because of the tech. You know, I know you're busy with training at the moment, so... Yeah, I appreciate it very much, bud. And listen, mate, I see you as a light in this world that is here to do many good things and through the medium of athletics, inspire so many people, which you're already doing. And it's just so exciting to watch your journey. And yeah, I wish you the very best. I can, you know, I can really see you get going for the gold next year. Gold, like, I can really see it, like, really, because of who you are. And your dedication to your craft, your dedication to your sport, and your dedication to helping others. So I think when we are living life in this way, we are supported in many, many ways. So thank you, brother.
Oh, thanks very much, man. That means a lot. Yeah, really, really did enjoy our time with the coaching together as well. I learned so much these last few months. And yeah, really, really excited to hopefully... watch this Inspired Breath Academy fly.
Yeah, buddy. All right, thanks again, bud, and much love.
Cool. Bye.